here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, or guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today's program is going to be going from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, my friends. It's a special because we're in that wonderful time at WBAI where we beg for bucks, where we ask for money, where we ask you to support us in what we're doing. And in order to do that, we've got to bring you information and stuff that makes you pay attention. So today, I'm going to be doing some things about relationships. Yes, relationships. I'm going to teach you a few different things about how to have a conversation with unreasonable partners. That's one thing I'm going to be doing. How, when two people want to talk about something, they could talk to each other better. I want to teach you some information that we've learned about mate selection, which is fascinating. The more we learn about mate selection, the more interesting it is. You know, one thinks that choosing your mate is just your own choice, stuff that you do, you know, but it's not as free as you think. Not as free as you think. Several factors seem to influence the initial attraction. We've talked about the nose and we've talked about pheromones and what attracts who and who attracts what. We used to think that it was you are smelling for somebody like you. No, we don't want that because we want a DNA that is not the opposite. You see, your immune system, it wants to grow. It doesn't want something that's the same immune system because the immune system doesn't grow that way. So the immune system, in order to better the species, says, give me somebody who's different than me but also similar. It doesn't want somebody completely different. So there's the new information we've learned is that we are selecting for a somewhat different DNA in our smell choices. This isn't our smell choices, but get this. Listen to this information. A woman takes a pill, a birth control pill, and her smell factor is knocked out of whack. She selects for something completely different than she selects for when she's off the birth control pill. Now, this accounts for an amazing phenomena that we've always wondered about. We always wondered why women, when they become pregnant, often don't like the smell of their husbands. They're often repulsed by their husbands. They often find the family to be a better place where they want to go. And women will talk about, once they're pregnant, they'll talk about this. I'm willing to bet that the research can now look at, were those women taking birth control pills when they met their men? If they were taking birth control pills and then they met their man, they met him based on one hormonal selection. When they stop taking the birth control pills, it's a different hormonal selection. My gosh, when you eat garlic, do you select to have vampires or something? So, you know, I mean, how much does it affect us? So we're learning and we're beginning to understand. We're beginning to understand about love. We're beginning to understand about passion. I mean, passion itself, the whole idea of the chemicals of desire, which include nitric oxide. Nitric oxide, you know, that's we secrete that, and that comes with tumescence and swelling of organs. There's polypeptides, pheromones, epinephrine, estrogen, dopamine, serotonin, phenylalanine, you know, polypeptides, oxytocin, and testosterone are all hormones at work that establish whether or not you could feel desire for somebody. If these chemicals get out of whack, any one of these chemicals, you could feel turned off. Little wonder. You know, and people think it's emotional. Well, sometimes it is emotional. You know, as a shrink, I interview enough people where I find people who have not had sex after a long period of time. Invariably, the people who don't have sex have one thing in common. They are not effective at communicating with each other when they feel angry. Yes, it seems that the human sexual organs are the most effective at saying, I'm angry at you, by shutting off and walking away. They do exactly what people do. Women get turned off, men get turned off, because they can't express anger. Today, later in the program, I'm going to teach you 7 steps for how you could communicate more effectively and hopefully keep your sex life alive with your mate. Other things we learned about complicating factors of, listen to this, this is interesting. Fisher in 2004 relates that when children live together, as in an Israeli kibbutz, now enough of you are familiar with Israeli kibbutzes, something happens physiologically between the age of 3 and 6, which prevents or at least minimizes the chance of individuals forming romantic bonds later in life. So this is why they were always curious about why sex was not so prevalent on the kibbutz. You know, they thought, oh, well, you know, maybe. But the thing is, there's a hormone that comes in, a chemical message that comes in and says, hey, if they're on the kibbutz, don't screw with them. A funny thing. So very few people fall in love with somebody they meet on the kibbutz. I know I'm going to get calls and say, ah, it's an exception. Me, if he was from the kibbutz next door. But there's a chemical thing that happens between age 3 and 6 that turns that person into a virtual non-entity. Because it would be dangerous to have active sexuality at an early age with somebody who you're living with. A third fact was identified by Galdino Parazzoni, a psychologist, believe it or not, in Salem, Virginia, who said that people have established an image of their ideal lover by the age of 10. By the time you were 10 years old, you had your lover picked. And Mr. Pranzeroni, Dr. Pranzeroni, proved it through a number of studies, schemas, and so on and so forth, that kind of proved it, selected it. Who did you love when you were 10 years old? Who was your idea? Was he tall and dark and handsome? Did he talk on the radio? Who was it that you had in mind at age 10? That's probably the person you love now. Or fell in love with since. A fourth factor that's kind of interesting comes from anthropologist and sociologist David Buss, who found, he did a study across 36 countries, across 6 continents, and he said that there was only one that, let me see, beautiful and youthful. Men preferred women who were physically beautiful and youthful over women with high earnings, whereas women preferred good earning capacity and ambition over physical attractiveness. See, get it? I mean, men are attracted to bodies, is what the study proved across 33 countries. Of course, it wouldn't be like that in Manhattan. And women, on the other hand, they wanted somebody who had something going for them. You know, kind of makes sense. And both men and women preferred two qualities over everything else. They wanted somebody who could act nice. This was their highest criteria. They want somebody who is nice. God, what's going on out there if that's what everybody chooses as their highest quality? And the second was to have a sense of humor. They wanted laughter in their lives. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, teaching you a little about human relationships. I'm going to be teaching you about communication. Here is the most interesting and, I find, questionable study to have done. It has to do with symmetry. Symmetrical women and symmetrical men. It turns out that if you're symmetrical, that means if your right side is more like your left side and vice versa, you tend to have a better immune response. Your body is more immune. You tend to have, women have more orgasms when they are with a symmetrical partner than when they're with an asymmetrical partner. Men looking at images of more symmetrical women show higher increases in testosterone and dopamine. So what the culture is doing, what society is doing, and what the species is doing is selecting for symmetry. Symmetrical men are having intercourse on average 4 years earlier than non-symmetrical. So what do we do? How does the world deal with it? You know, certainly we have these asymmetrical people, and what's happening to all of us? You know, you mean just because I'm asymmetrical, it means I can't score? No, we got plastic surgery. We have all kinds of things, you know. They change us and they make you look symmetrical nowadays. It works. Amazing how we invented that. Let's not change the symmetry through genetic. Let's not wait for the genes to catch up. Let's just change it in a laboratory, you know, or in a hospital room. All right. Armand, well, six factor, and this has to do, well, it has to do with hip to waist ratio and all other things like that. But here's what we want to know. We want to know if you do have a relationship and your relationship, you're in a relationship right now, how can you make that relationship the best it is? Relationships are difficult, mind you. Keep in mind, research came out yesterday, 51% of all women now living are without a spouse. The highest rate ever. Now, there's a number of factors involved in it. This is up from 35% in 1950, you know. Here we are, 51% of the women, more women, are unmarried than are married. First time. First ever. Maybe that's why we're getting along a little better. I don't know, because, you know, marriage could be tough. I mean, really tough. Marriage, you know, wedding, living with somebody, having a relationship with somebody you can't stand could be absolutely brutal. It could be like, you know, you could virtually feel hatred in a relationship. That's how bad it could be. You know, you just, you could not stand the person. So what do you do when you can't seem to make any headway? Is this because you're going to... You're going to, the only thing you could do is kind of leave? Do you fight it out? What if you can't fight it out? Well, I'll be showing you today. Today I've got 2 hours with you. I'll be with you from 1 to 3 o'clock. And we will be trying to show you things that you could do to make your relationship a little better. We want to make it a little better for you. We don't want it to be the way it is. I mean, what's an example of the worst kind of relationship you can have? Well, we've got lessons to teach you, and we've got lessons to teach you. Let's talk a little bit about this. Let's talk a little bit about relationships. Let's talk about what the idea of a relationship is. If there's a discussion that you're having with someone, you know, if you're trying to get together with somebody who you care about, and if you want to talk about something, and you're trying to talk about something, you're trying your very best, and no matter what you do, it doesn't work. You start to talk and start to talk, and then all of a sudden you feel, how did this get to be such a mess? I'd rather shut my mouth. Now, I'd rather shut my mouth is a very male position. Men often take that position because they can stand or they find great difficulty with the emotionality of a woman mate that they may run into who may be hyper-emotional. So what happens is this thing begins to work. A power play works. The woman may be angry and the man may be angry, but the woman somehow may be using more emotionalism and the man may see himself incapable of dealing with it, so he gets quiet. So in the power struggle, she beats him up in effect by just pounding him over the head with more and more horrendous words, and he gets even by going into a secret, quiet fantasy where all he is thinking about is hating her and hating her and hating her, and he stonewalls. He shuts off. He doesn't feel anything. He watches her mouth move and says, as if you're saying anything at all, and doesn't hear it. What kind of relationship is that? So now you've got 2 kids, 3 kids, and you say to yourself, it's for the children that we're doing it. Well, maybe that's true. but your children aren't getting along any better, and they're not going to grow up with any kind of mind that's going to tell them that this is working for them. So what we need to do is to straighten it out and give you tools and help you be more efficient in a relationship. And when we, in a little while, I'm going to be teaching you 7 steps, 7 guidelines that you can actually work with 100% to be able to find out how you can improve the relationships you're in right now, my friends. So what do we have here today for you today is something really special. You know, we have been working on trying to find some way, besides doing this fantastic, flawless programming, of getting you to make some contributions to WBAI. And here's what you do. If you have a relationship that doesn't work, and the reason it doesn't work is because there's some kind of hatred and some kind of disdain going on in the relationship. If that's going on and you want to figure it out, here's a few things we could do. I put together a package of 6 CDs on relationships. Now, these 6 CDs on relationships include a number of issues. And the issues that they are putting, the issues that they cover are the different ways that people respond. Now, if you have somebody who is trying to blackmail you with their emotions, if they overpower you with emotions, that's one of the things. For a $100 donation, you can get these 6 CDs that I've done over time. They deal with the following issues: emotional blackmail, stonewalling, which is when the person doesn't want to even talk to you, criticism, when there's somebody who's being overly critical all the time. Passive-aggressive anger is another one. You know, it's so hard to deal with, but you learn all about passive-aggressive anger. And contempt, dealing with contempt. On top of which, we are going to include a CD-DVD, which is an actual video which gets included in this set, which is going to be on what's called the borderline personality. Now, listen, my friends, you may or may not have this in your relationship. If you have it in your relationship, if you have somebody who tends to be more angry than most, here's a clinical presentation of a wonderful CD by a wonderful DVD by a wonderful group of people. And it's called the borderline personality. We're offering this as part of our 6 CDs on relationships. $100 at 212-209-2900, my friends. That's 212-209-2900. If you make your calls right now for a $100 donation, you'll get 6 CDs on relationships, learning about it. These 6, if you listen to them, you will not only help yourself, but you'll be able to help your friends as well. You'll have the power to be able to talk to your friends and tell your friends what's going on for them if they need advice, you know. Or you could use it yourself, or you could give it to your mate. They're all friendly, but they are that. Now, if that doesn't work for you, for a $250 donation, what you could do is you could get a one-time consultation with me as a couple. Come in as a couple. Come in, the two of you. A $250 donation to the station at 212-209-2950, and you'll get a consultation with me privately. Now, primarily, this is going to focus on relationships, but you know, if you want to come and talk to me about anything, you're welcome to do it. But either you come in as a couple, or you come in each one of you, one at a time, or you just come in. To come in for a consultation with me, Armand DeMille, personally, a $250 donation to WBAI, and I will have that consultation with you in person or on telephone, any way you want to do it. Make your calls right now, 212-209-2900. The people down at Tally are standing around. I hope Marty Resnick is down there. Wave your hand, Marty. 212-209-2900. My special thanks to all the people. 212-209-2900. Make your calls right now. $100 donation, 6 CDs on relationship, include emotional blackmail, stonewalling, criticism, passive aggressive anger, contempt, dealing with issues like that. And for $250, you get the consultation with me. You can make your calls right now, my friends. We are here and listening. Ooh! 212-209-2950 is the number, not 212-209-2950. Make your calls right now. $250 donation. You get a one-time consultation with me. A $100 donation gets you 6 CDs on relationships, including emotional blackmail, stonewalling, criticism, passive-aggressive anger, and contempt. 212-209-2950.
I have for you.
My hate for you is such a hot hate. I hate you with hot, heaping hunks of hate.
The heat of your hot hate could not approximate the hateful hatred that I have in hating you.
If it was possible to write the word hate on each grain of sand in the Sahara Desert, all that hate on each of those hateful grains would equal 1/1,000,000th of the hate I'm hating you with right now.
You know how much you're hating me?
Yeah.
Double it. That's my hate for you.
I used to love you, now I hate love.
How long have you hated me?
2 years.
I've hated you 4 years.
I hated you before I met you.
I hated you before you were born.
I hate your grandmother.
I hate Columbus for discovering America and making it possible for me to meet and hate you this way.
The word hate isn't big enough to hold
my
hate for you.
The gestures of hate.
Because I
hate this world, not only in this world, go out into space, go out
of your body,
into the universe,
hateful,
in the Milky Way, go
the
up
air
into Jupiter, into Mars. All the hate,
hate
they have up there
will not
approximate
you. You've got hate hanging on you.
I have
That's
for you.
What I hate you with.
I'd like to ask one question.
What?
Do you think this marriage can be saved?
You know, some people find that such a difficult thing to listen to. And the reason you find it so difficult to listen to it is because the very, very thing you're listening to, the anger, that's not anger, of course, that's hatred that they're expressing, is the thing that it's anathema to many people in relationships. See, people want to have civil relationships. They want to have relationships with no anger. They grow, I don't want to have a relationship with anger in it. So they act civil, you know, especially if they come from Connecticut or something. They don't want to get angry. They just, you know, we're going to be New England. We are going to be just fine. We're not going to do anything like that. And the problem that happens with that is that it gets buried. Then you look at it and you say, well, I've got to just get used to her idiosyncrasies, and the anger gets buried. There's another way of working through relationships, not through hatred, but through having a person work with you and communicate with you at a better level. Here they are, 7 guidelines. I'm going to number them for you, and then we're going to go over them one at a time. Number 1, remember this. If you want to speak to somebody, if you want to try to have a good relationship, we're going to give you 7 things to do. Number 1, remember this. The minute that anybody says to anybody else, I want to talk to you, it automatically engenders a defensive reaction. You know, if a wife calls up her husband and says, we have to talk, you know, you go, no, is the general feeling. You have to know that it's a general feeling of distress. It's a defensive reaction. So the automatic reaction to hearing somebody wants to talk to you is, what's wrong? Or what did I do wrong? And the minute you start thinking that, what you start doing is you go into a defensive position. What's important is when someone says they want to speak to you, you have to somehow bypass your own defensiveness and say, let me hear what they have to say. Let me hear it. Let me not react defensively. So one thing that is, if you just keep in mind, step number 1, the very act of making the conversation happen automatically engenders a defensive reaction. So if you're trying to talk to somebody about something and you say, honey, I want to talk about Valentine's Day. He goes, oops, did I miss it? You know, I mean, the defensiveness is automatic. So one way that you might want to mitigate that defensive reaction is when you're talking to someone, say, you know, there's a conversation I would like to have with you now or at a later time, and here's what it's about, but we don't have to have that now. We could talk tomorrow or over the weekend if you'd like, and to touch them gently when you do it. There is something I'd like to discuss with you about something with the children and us, you know, but we don't have to do it right now. Just to take away the pressure of the immediate defensiveness. It's also nice to do it by doing a treat, you know, by, can I get you something? And listen, there is some stuff I'd like to talk to you about, but let's do it at a time when we could do it really peacefully, really quietly, because that's the idea. The idea is to have a good discussion. A good discussion, a good conversation between two people is an act of love. It takes about the same consideration that most sexual encounters take. There's consideration, there's timing, there's foreplay. You know, there's warming it up, there's getting it going, and there's trying to make it last. You know, and then afterwards, somehow celebrating it, whether by hugging, any way you want. A good conversation is an act of love. Armand DeMille with you. Step number 1, remember, when you say, I want to talk to you, it automatically engenders a defensive reaction. Number 2, when you're going to deal with somebody about something, deal with only one thing at a time. You want to write these down? Write them down. Number 1, remember, automatic defensive reaction. Number 2, deal with only one issue at a time. If you're discussing the issue of keeping the house clean, don't generalize it to which of you shows more care for the other. Stick with one issue, cleaning the house, until you resolve the issue. Honey, I want to talk to you about this house and the garbage and getting the house clean. I feel overwhelmed by it. So try to relate the one issue and stick to the one issue only. Keep in mind that some people have a thinking style that tends to wander. They keep usually artistic and creative people. They can't stay on one subject. So if you have a mate who can't stay on one subject, like if it's a child, a teenage boy, teenage girl, you're trying to talk to them about one subject, their mind wanders all over the place. Forgive them that and keep bringing them back to the issue. If you or your mate have a wandering mind, keep in mind that completing a thought is difficult, with a gentle reminder of the most random thinkers will settle down. And they usually settle down with a gentle touch. So if you're talking to somebody and say, let's talk about cleaning the house, and suddenly they're talking about going to the movies, touch their arm and say, hey, wait a minute, let's go back to this. Let's deal with this. And you deal with them, you remind them with loving, not with criticism. You always avoid the word always. You never say the word never. I like that because, you know, always and never are two very toxic words in a conversation. You shouldn't, and, you know, if you say to your partner, you never do so and so and so and so, it really strips them bare. If you say you always do so and so, nobody is always anything. Because they'll continue it as an always. So try to avoid the words always and never and deal with one issue at a time. Now, number three, this one is difficult and a very difficult one. Don't bring in examples from the past. When we're powerless and when we don't know how to get what we want and we don't know to talk about the here and now, we tend to bring in ammunition. When an experience is recorded in your memory, when you remember something, it always takes on a little distortion. When you recall a dream in the middle of a day, for example, it's often quite different than when you woke up in the morning. Similarly, if you bring up examples from the past, you and your partner can easily get into a non-productive argument about whose memory is correct. So try not to bring in the past. Don't say, remember when Sadie was visiting with her son? And then your partner says it wasn't her son, she brought her daughter. And then you're going into this kind of a ridiculous thing because you're bringing in the past. You don't need the past. If you're talking about something that happens repeatedly, like, for example, someone who comes home late for dinner all the time, you can still deal with it just as it happens. Express fully how you feel about it. Get the other person to understand how you feel about it. Honey, I was waiting for you. All night, I was waiting for you an hour and a half. I had everything cooked. Here I was with the cauliflower wilting in front of me. You said you'd be home at 8 o'clock, and you weren't, and I was very disappointed and very upset by it. Don't bring in, you never get home at 8 o'clock. The one time is good enough. Your partner will deal with it. Drop the evidence. You don't need it. Because the evidence does nothing but create a courtroom. And when it creates a courtroom, the person defends themselves like in every courtroom. Remember, we're trying to have a conversation that's more like making love than it is a trial. We're trying to work something to a successful climax, a good experience, a good relationship, a good discussion. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Down at Dally, you know. Vera, I want to thank you for what you're doing down there and organizing that. Yes, the show to see, it's a screening, you know, and at screenings they give you one period of time. So the two tickets to the screening of Home, if you just tuned in, by the way, and you were passing by, you're dealing with WBAI. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. If you want to see who we are, you can go on the web at thepositivemind.com, and you'll see all about it and where our programming is going to be. We're talking about relationships today, and if you've been calling and you haven't gotten an answer, which is very possible because there are so many calls and so few people to answer the phones. I know I have some friends down there now who are answering the phones. We need people to get on the line and answer the phones. I need people there today. I need people there tomorrow also between 1 and 3 o'clock. Well, I'll be doing another program. So please, my friends, if you can't afford to donate money to the station, go down and give them a hand. They're such a good group of people. And they give you loads of things for showing up down there. You know, they're very friendly and they're very kind. And you get to meet Marty, and then Marty Resnick, you get to meet Vera, you get to meet all some of the other people down there who are volunteering. They're fabulous folks. 212-209-2950. So some people have called me on the break and said the phone was ringing 15 times and no one answered it. Because they just need more people. They only have 6,000 people answering phones. They need 6,001. Now, there's a few people answering the phones. They need more. Because it seems that people want to take advantage of some of these premiums that we're offering. So keep calling back. Don't give up, my friends. Don't give up. Call back. So we're talking about the different steps in having a good relationship and what happens when you want to have a communication. Now, sometimes you can't have a communication because your partner is not in their right mind. When a partner is not in their right mind, then they sound funny. And when they sound funny, then, you know, you see, there's a word called psychotic. I don't like to throw the word around too much. But when a person is psychotic, they don't see you. They don't see you. It's not you that's there. They see like a chicken on your head. They're not in reality. They're in another reality. They could have hallucinations. So it's very hard to have a relationship with somebody who is clinically psychotic because, you know, they can barely function. Now, sometimes people are so depressed that they can't talk to you. And when they're so depressed, there are certain symptoms that you see. I, of course, as a clinician, get a chance to see right away, but somebody can be so depressed that they just can't get out of bed. They can't answer a phone. They can't lift their head no matter what you say to them. And then you try to get angry. That's a good choice. They try to get angry with you and you try to get angry with them to stir them, but they're not going to communicate. Somebody who is deeply, deeply depressed, especially somebody who's bipolar depressed, you can't shake them. You can't have a reasonable discussion with them. So this doesn't work. A little tenderness works to help get them help. Don't help them. Don't think that you could just do it yourself. And sometimes people are just plain strange. Now, what does a strange person sound like? Well, I dug into my vault here to let you hear the kind of thinking that goes on in a strange brain. And here's something from many years ago that I think you'll get a kick out of some funny thinking. And in this case, it's a form of body dysmorphia. But here's funny thinking.
To think my right hand was uglier than my left. So I'd punish my right hand, not my left. I used to bite the knuckle of that hand, 'cause my right hand so much uglier than my left. Used to stick pins through the skin of that knuckle, 'cause my right hand was uglier than my left.
Boy, we've got it.
Generally, I lacerate.
Weird thinking is me believing that I am getting you to hear someone talk funny. We're talking about trying to have a communication with somebody and talking about trying to have a decent discussion. The first thing we said, in case you weren't listening, is when someone says, I want to talk to you, it automatically engenders a defensive reaction. It's very important to know that, number one. and deal with the fact that somebody's going to be automatically defensive as soon as you say, I want to talk to you. So say it and expect a reaction, and don't say, don't get reactive. Just understand it's going to happen. Number two, deal with one issue at a time. Avoid the words always and never, and deal with one issue at a time. Number three, don't bring in examples from the past. Now, for some of you, it is just impossible to not bring up your evidence. You always. There's a young couple that I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with two brothers who are trying to make peace now. I have them coming to see me last week, and they're coming back. They're trying to make peace, but every time they start to talk, you did this, you always. Blame is one of the things that make it not work. You don't have to say, I blame you. You could just say, I feel. How do you translate I feel, blame, into I feel? So, for example, if you said, you know, you don't show enough interest in the kids around here, that's blame, gets converted to, you know, I feel like I'm overwhelmed at times because I feel so alone in doing the work here. Same sentence. But when I said it, I engaged you to listen. I got you to listen because I talked about myself. When I blamed you, you're just going to defend yourself. Well, I'm busy. I'm earning the money to bring the money home so we could buy the kids some soy bacon. Armand DeMille here with you. Okay, so one of the things you may want to do, and this is step four, is to make a deal with your partner and make sure that you both agree before proceeding. And this is a deal that if either of the two of you feel irritated or overwhelmed for any reason at all, either partner can request a pause in the conversation. How does this take place? So the two of you are sitting there and you're trying to talk, and one of you start feeling bad. Now you start feeling bad, and you're not feeling good, and you're talking, you're starting to feel bad, and you don't hear the other person anymore, and without any thought, you have to, without any thought, I'm sorry, friends, it's just some slowness around me. Without any thought at all you have to do is to make sure you both agree. Now, if one person feels bad and the other one doesn't feel bad, right, it's just good enough if one person feels bad. So here's what you do. You say, I want to pause. But how do you do a pause? A symbolic gesture, such as taking a glass and turning it upside down, is a symbolic gesture. Each person has a glass, and I suggest it use an empty glass. Don't try to do this with a full martini. The message behind the glass turn is, I feel overwhelmed right now, and I've lost my loving self in this discussion. Let's pause until I can get back to remembering and feeling that I care about you and you care about me. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I really recommend a glass, because when you turn the glass upside down, as soon as somebody does that, the other person keeps quiet. They just get quiet. They stop talking. You may not think that this is a great tool, but you would be amazed at how often you turn that glass. If the two of you are committed to having a discussion, that glass turn, you know, why did you stop talking? They don't have to say a word. It's a wonderful tool for discussion. It takes dedication and discipline to stick with the bargain. It's important that during this time, both people stay in the room. You don't walk out of the room. Walking out can have a devastating effect on your partner, especially with future problem solving. They'd be afraid that you walk out. So what you want to do is you make a deal to have a pause if either one of you requests the pause. So it only has to be one of you requesting the pause, and you both will take the pause. Number five. Whatever you do, do not imply ending the relationship. Even if that's something you're considering, I'm getting out of here. Once you throw in the threat of abandonment, they have an inner sense of panic. Once one person says, I'm leaving you, they have a sense of panic. The other person feels panicky. Abandonment is one of the weapons that people try to use with each other. You know, so do not talk about ending the relationship. Do not talk about leaving. Do not talk about separating. Do not imply ending the relationship, not even if it's something you're considering doing. The primary motivation becomes to get you to say that you won't leave them no matter what it takes. When you're in a relationship and you're having a discussion, one person says, I am thinking about getting a divorce. The other person now, they don't care about anything except getting you to rescind what you said. So that maybe when you rescind what you said, they'll leave you. But nobody likes being left. So what they do is you become completely phony in response to somebody threatening to leave. So do not threaten to leave. Here's what the courageous do. I love you. I have an issue with you. I want to discuss it with you. I want to sit down. I want to work it out with you so we can love better. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to lose what we have. I want to make it work. Now, who couldn't love somebody who said that to them, huh? And that's the idea. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going right back to talking about the seven ideas, the seven ways, the seven guidelines for relationships. The last one we were talking about was do not mention or imply ending a relationship. You got to get out this stuff about I'm going to leave you. That doesn't make a relationship work, believe it or not. I'm going to leave you doesn't work. The only time to discuss when you're going to leave is when you've already done it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's when you really packed your bags, not when you're using it as a weapon. Now, here's the next very important thing. When you've covered one issue successfully, this is when you've talked about one thing successfully, take a break. Take a break. Be sure to, you know, it's like this I've never seen anybody do. The idea here is to talk about something and resolve it. It's so rare that people can resolve an issue that when you finally do resolve it, you want to talk to each other about it. You want to be able to say, okay, we've resolved this, let's celebrate it. You're covering one issue successfully. If you've discussed who's going to make dinner, you know, successfully, take a break. Take a break, hug each other, shake hands, say thank you. A frequent mistake is to settle one issue and then go into another one right away. If you do this, it gets to be, you lose the power of the success of the one you did. So do not try to handle more than one at a time. Handle two, handle one. Go back, talk about another one at a later time. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So step number six is make sure you take a break if you've settled one successfully. And step number seven, this is very important. Celebrate solutions. When you've done, you know, you spend all your money on Valentine's gifts, Christmas presents, birthday presents, New Year's presents, Armistice Day presents. Get a gift. If you settle something between the two of you, send a note, go out on the town, do positive reinforcement, celebrate solutions. Now, celebrations are a very important part of relationships, and I want to talk about celebrations. I want to focus a little bit on celebrations. In fact, we're going to do that as soon as we get back from our break, which we're going to take in a short while. And while we're taking that little break, I want you to give a call to 212-209-2950. Here's a chance to support WBAI, The Positive Mind, and what we're doing here, and what you're hearing, and what you're learning. And you could do it by getting $250. You get a one-time consultation with me. And you can meet with me personally as a couple, or in person, or in part. You can send half of yourself one time and half of yourself another time. For $100, you can get 6 CDs on relationships. Or for $75, you get tickets to the screening at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on March 1st, and that's going to be an exciting thing as well. So we're expecting that to be very exciting, the screening. So see if you can get to it, and we'll only have 100 tickets. We may have sold them all today, and we have a whole month to do this. So 212-209-2950, my friends. 212-209-2950. Make your calls right now. It is just about 2:30 here at WBAI. Okay. Well, because it's Cuban, you see? And here it is. Time to wiggle those hips a little bit. You know, I wonder if all couples could wiggle their hips with each other. A little bouncing of butts, you know what I mean? Just walking around the kitchen. Just something tender. Sometimes you forget. Just imagine the kind of youthful exchange you'd really like to have, even if your partner's 80 years old. It doesn't matter. Over 212-209-2950, my friends. Cachaito, you're listening to Cachaito, which is an amazing piece of music, as we always have here. 6 CDs on relationships. One of them is going to be on, we talk about passive aggressive anger. It's very hard to understand passive aggressive anger. Passive aggressive anger is a kind of thing where a person has a way of expressing their anger, but they're never to blame. Passive-aggressive is the most amazing way of ducking blame. You just don't get blamed. So, for example, passive-aggressive behavior is being late. A typical passive-aggressive behavior. The dog ate the homework is another typical passive-aggressive behavior, if you know what that means. Why didn't you show up on time? I didn't show up on time because the train broke down and the conductor picked up a stick and threw it and the dog went and fetched it. And they make up these long, long stories which are true and you can't get mad at them. So the passive-aggressive way of expressing anger is to render you powerless by some act, but nothing that you could blame a person for. And it happens all the time. So passive aggressiveness is lateness when it's important for you that the person's on time. And they, the passive aggressive person, doesn't even know they're doing it. They don't know they're being passive aggressive. They think that they just, you know, a victim of circumstance. So learning about passive aggressive anger and learning that what you're dealing with when a person does this with you is you're dealing with an anger that's not being expressed. And one of the ways you deal with that is you learn to talk to the person to identify the anger that they're not expressing, that they don't even know they feel. So that's one of the CDs you get. That's one of the things you learn about. You see, the positive mind is a classroom. I used to teach at Hunter College and a couple of other universities, and there was nothing I would love more than getting up in front of the class and saying, here's the way the human mind works. And the way the mind works makes people think this way. And when they think this way, here's what they're really saying. And to watch the hungry appetites for the people who wanted to learn. People are starved to understand other people. Well, the Positive Mind, this program, does just that. We have 600 hours on our website of listening. You could listen to programs over a period of time put on by Tom Gerby, who is our master webmaster, who's helped put this whole thing together. You could hear past programs. You could hear all over the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So these six CDs I selected about relationships, I chose these six, and these six are not available on the website. I chose these six so you could learn about them. Emotional blackmail is one of them. There are people who use emotions to blackmail other people. I had this one day with somebody who got angry, and they were getting angry, and they were applying for, they were trying to make some trouble. And so they were calling an insurance company, and they were screaming at the insurance companies. Now, insurance companies, they're used to being screamed at. So when somebody gets angry with them, they know how to handle it. They don't get intimidated by it, but that very same person will take their anger and use it on somebody else, and it will work because people are afraid of anger. If you're afraid of anger, if you're afraid of somebody yelling at you, then that person can use their emotional blackmail. They could blackmail you emotionally. They could threaten you without threatening you. They could just feel upset, and you get blackmailed into dealing with this upset. At its extreme, you deal with a condition called the borderline condition, which is a psychiatric condition that you just have to learn about. You learn about it, and you begin to spot it all over your life. You begin to suddenly say, ah, that's why that person is so angry all the time. That DVD, that's a DVD, it's part of our CD set, is available to you through the BPD Resource Center, who has sent us these for you, so you could have this as part of your education. And you learn about all the other things, like criticism and contempt. What a thing to have people who are critical of each other. What is it all about? Why are you criticizing your mate? You know, if you were dating somebody for the first time, would you criticize them? Well, you might, but, you know, it's not the way to create a loving relationship. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So part of the six CD set is to get this $100, six CDs on relationships, and at the same time, you support The Positive Mind. And supporting The Positive Mind means you believe that information about the human mind, and put out the way we put it out, which is in a loving way, which is without criticizing people, is valuable. It's a great gift to the world, and you want to be a part of it. Give your gift, 212-209-2950. Of course, if you want to meet with me yourself, $250 gives you a one-time consultation with me personally. Come as a couple, come individually, or send somebody you know. And then the big deal, which I love, and I hope we sell these tickets, is $75, two tickets to the screening of Home at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on March 1st at 7:30. And this is going to be a hot event because the people are going to be hot because the people are going to be WBAI people. And the last time we did it, when we did it at Lincoln Center, there was like 50 people outside who couldn't get in because it was so oversold, you know. So be a part of it. I mean, can I say it's the best film you ever saw in your life? Absolutely not. But it is interesting, exciting, and you get a chance to meet each other, and you get a chance to meet me. 212-209-2950, my friends. Keep your calls coming in, and make those calls be part of your celebration here at WBAI. Celebration, because relationships have to be about celebration. When is the last time you and your partner celebrated? When is the last time you took a hotel room? You know, and just got out and spent an evening in a hotel room together just for no reason but to lick your wounds. You know, to find out what it is that you've been going through, to make it easy for yourself. You know, so you just to take a break, you know, and to say, oh, mate, I want to celebrate you. Yes, Valentine's Day is coming up. That's the day that people do it, but usually there are too many expectations around then. But just to do something tender with somebody you love, something that's acknowledged, something that's recognized, something that both of you do as a celebration. You know, let's celebrate tonight. And what kind of celebration do you want? What do you want to do? Let's go out to dinner. Now that's boring. Going out to dinner is a boring way to celebrate. That's not a celebration. That's, I don't know what it is. It's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to do something where you're both active, you're both engaged, and you're making contact. There's got to be a lot of touch in a celebration. There has to be a lot of contact with each other. There's got to be eye contact. There's got to be hand contact. And there's got to be hugging. That's celebration. Fireworks are fun, too. 212-209-2950. You can celebrate by going to the Brooklyn Academy of Music on March 1st. You can make your, get this, honey, as our Valentine's present. I got us two tickets to go to see Home with Armand DeMille. If your honey loves this program, right? One of the two of you get the tickets to come down and meet with us at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. What fun that would be. Wouldn't that be exciting? 212-209-2950 for a donation of $75. You get two tickets to the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Now, a lot of you are afraid. You know, you're afraid to go to functions. You're afraid it's going to be overwhelming. You're afraid to see people. This function is different because it's going to be safe. It won't be so public. It won't be so wild. It won't be so crazy. It'll be safe. You could just sit there and not do anything. Just be part of the energy. It's going to be safe because I'm going to be there. And that's what I like. I like people to feel safe. 212-209-2950. Make your calls. We still have people answering the phones. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. talking about men. Now, you know, we talk about celebrations, and these are just a few hints, these that I've given you. The worst part in all relationships is blame. Blame is just a killer. It just doesn't work. If you blame somebody, they're just going to defend themselves. So instead of saying you, now mind you, if you ever listen to somebody who's bent out of shape and they're talking to you and they're berating you, they use the word you. In your mind, if you're somebody who takes it, who doesn't fight back, who doesn't stop it, you can hear them using the word you. And watch how many times they use the word you. It's amazing. When someone is a blamer, you. And then more, you. You did this, you did that, you did this, you never did, and you dis, you always, you never, you. And they never say the word I. And that's amazing. Because when you're talking to somebody, you want to talk about yourself. You want to say, I feel scared, I feel worried, I feel concerned. The word you almost doesn't even belong in the conversation when you're trying to deal with an issue. So what you could do is count the number of yous. And I had somebody I know who did this. He made a recording. He said, okay, we're going to have this discussion. I'm going to make a recording. And he took a recording and he listened. And he had, within a 1 hour recording, his mate had said to him 217 yous and four I's. 217 yous and four I's. How successful communication was this? You. Blame. Who likes that? Do you like it? You like to be on the other side of it? It's like being a teenager, you know? Because parents talk to teenagers that way. They talk to kids that way. They blame them, you know? You. The parent never says I. They rarely say, you know, I feel. I am. I was overwhelmed. I got scared. No, you did this and you did that. And that's part of what happens in communication. So in relationships, my friend, one of the things I do when I see couples is I try to eliminate the blame. I try to get the blame factor out, not because you don't feel that way, but because if we take the blame factor out of the relationship, people start talking about what they really need and what they really feel. And on the CDs that I'm offering you, on the six CDs, this process is discussed in depth. 212-209-2900, my friend. 212. Sorry, I did it again. 212-209-2950. You would imagine by now, eh? But because when we take calls, you see, when we normally take so many calls, 212-209-2950, make your calls. You get the 6 CDs on relationships, including emotional blackmail, stonewalling, passive-aggressive anger, contempt, and then the thing on the borderline personality. Oh, borderline personality, my friends. If you don't know how to recognize a borderline personality, including your own, you're going to be a slave in life. You're never going to get a chance to succeed. You must be able to spot it, see it, and react to it, even if it's in you. 212-209-2950. For $250, you can get a one-time consultation with me personally. I'll meet with you. It should be fun. It'll be an entertaining, light, but in-depth meeting. 212-209-2950. Help out with what we're doing here. 212-209-2950. Show your support for the Positive Mind by making your calls right now. We're going to be continuing today, but you know, it's amazing, this station. I'm going to be with you every week. We have so many hours. On Wednesday, I'll be here for 2 hours from 1 to 3 o'clock. Next Tuesday, I'm doing a show with both at 11 a.m. Get this. An unusual time for me. And then I'll be doing a program at 7 p.m. in the evening. And then later on Wednesday, the 31st, I'm working from 1 to 3. And then on Thursday, we'll post it on our website at thepositivemind.com. And we can look at it. So what do you think is the most frequent question that people have about their relationships? The most frequent question that people ask about their relationships is, should I leave? You know, should I leave? Should I get out? Should I stay there? What am I doing staying there? So many people I know work in a relationship, they get in a relationship, and they just don't know what they're doing there anymore. Sometimes you look at it and you say, what am I doing here? You know, why am I still here? How would I get out if I wanted to? Is it about the children? Well, maybe you don't even have children. So many people make exits and so many don't. Here's what I think, my friends. I think that a relationship is a golden opportunity for learning about yourself. You get to learn amazing things about yourself. Amazing. And the way you learn about yourself is, the way you learn about yourself is by examining what it is that's going on for you in the relationship, as opposed to blaming the other person. So one of the things you do is you try to straighten yourself out and understand. You see, being in love is like an addiction. You need to find an objective way to assess the situation. It is very difficult. You know, if you're in the middle of an addiction, it's very hard to tell, should you take the drug, should you not take the drug? What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? Because the drug has its own voice. And it is very difficult when you're in a relationship to determine what's the right thing to do and not right thing to do, because the addictive part of the love relationship sometimes is speaking. You may be addicted to the other person. Are you addicted to someone you love? You know? And is it a painful addiction, as it often is? Addictions are usually painful. Being in love is like an addiction, and you need to find a way to take an objective assessment of the situation. That's why I'm offering you programs to listen to about relationships. That's why I offer you consultations, options. Find a way to see it from the outside. If you're uncertain whether the person you love really returns your feelings, you may have to find ways to maintaining the relationship to get that person to come around to you, because sometimes your mate has fallen out of love with you. And when they've fallen out of love with you, it could be just simply that something got in the way and it never got taken care of. I know a young couple where a dog died, and the death of the dog became the death of the relationship. It's like the death of a child in some relationships. But they don't have any way of talking about it. They don't have any way of dealing with it. So sometimes you need someone on the outside to help you look at it. And sometimes if you realize that the partner you have is no longer in love with you, learn how to get them back. Learn. Don't give up. Just because someone has fallen out of love with you, it may mean probably that they're just angry with you and they don't know how to deal with it. So what you could do is you could have the power, and I've done this with so many people who have lost relationships. They come in and they say, well, he's turned off to me. He doesn't want to see me anymore. He doesn't want to talk to me. So I say, well, let's go get him. Let's go get her. Let's find out what we could do to turn this around. You don't have to give it up. Even if they have somebody else, even if they've run off with somebody else, you can get them back. What you have to do is find a way, if you really love someone, to find a way to make peace with them. On the other hand, if you get the clear message that your love is not mutual, there's a point where you need to cure yourself of your own addiction. And for that, you may have to adapt some strategies for separation. It's difficult. It's difficult, my friends, but I tell you, it's worth it, because love is, without a doubt, a loving relationship is just one of those beautiful things that you have on this earth. And I so strongly recommend that you do whatever you can to treasure your love and to make it happen. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. I'll be going soon. I'll be leaving you with my friend Michael G. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. for 2 hours, talking exclusively about men and male psychology. There's a lot to know about men, and there's just a remarkable amount about it that some of the newest information and what we've discovered, so I want to bring it to you. So I'll be with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., so be sure to tune in, my friends. And in the meanwhile, 212-209-2950 is our number, 212-209-2950. Remember, for $100, you can get the CD, the 6 CDs on relationships. That includes 1 DVD. It's 5 CDs and 1 DVD. And for $75, you can get the tickets to BAM, B-A-M, the Brooklyn Academy of Music. And that's right. And or for $250, a one-time consultation with me personally, my friends. It's so good to be with you. I'll be back with you tomorrow. My special, special thanks to Michael T. Haskin for helping me out today, because there were so many errors on my part with the engineering. So thanks a lot, Michael, and I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Maestro de las grandes generaciones, evangelista,